Robert, here we are. The Tampa Bay Lightning are in. They're resting. They swept the Florida Panthers. Give me your thoughts on what do the Panthers have to do next year to be more competitive against Tampa in the playoffs?
What's up, guys? They need to find ways to play when they're uncomfortable and get results when they're uncomfortable. And I think in my career, like, that's playoff hockey. You've got to learn how to still do what you do and when people aren't allowing you to feel good, if that makes any sense. I mean, everybody can be good when you feel good, legs feel good, body feels good 100%. You're put in the right situations. Every player feels like you can high step, but when it's a struggle, like, how can you still contribute when it's got to look a little bit different? I think that's something they struggled with. And I think what we've seen from Tampa in the Toronto series, now in the Florida series, they're willing to play uncomfortably. They're willing to go to the dressing room numerous times to get repairs and come back out and do it all over again. And it goes from every single guy in their lineup. So that's as far as the on-ice product. It's going to be interesting what they do. I like the way their team was built in Florida. I thought they had all of that. But now it's going to get to that interesting time where I expect them still to be very good, but you've got Sasha Barkov's, what is it, $10 million, I think, kicking in. You've got Verhaeghe's numbers are going up. Now it's like, now this is a team that over the last couple of seasons, them, Colorado, and it's been every name that's come up has kind of circulated as a rumor through those two spots because they've had some favorable contracts. Well, that's kind of disappearing now. So I think now they're going to have to do some, some coupon clipping, you know, try to find some really good deals out there in the market and see if it works for them.
Now, you know, one thing I thought is, you know, everyone talked about how they're, you know, one of the top teams to come back from down, being down, was it 2-0 or 3-0, whatever this season. What about as far as just developing a mentality, maybe different regular season mentality, you know, just to have a little bit more, not care, but just a little more, desperation to start games and kind of be ready to go and carry that through the year. Because it seemed like in the playoffs they were just kind of, they could never kind of get up to speed when I saw them play.
You're talking Florida, right?
Yeah, Panthers.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, you know how it is, Strutty. Like, you have to care. You have to play with desperation. But in the same stroke of the brush, you've got to have a short-term memory and forget things, move forward. Like it almost doesn't make sense, right? Like, you've got to do a little bit of both. So I think it's about you got to funnel some frustration the right way, use it the right way. I just find that it was just a team that I almost chalk it up to what we've seen in the past. I know a lot of people have compared it to what Tampa has went through, Washington, and all those things. I find that sometimes when you're the President's Trophy winner, and that, it's not all the time, but this year, I mean, you're talking about a team, the Panthers were kind of historic numbers that they were putting up for goals scored. You can win games and play like crap, like when you're that talented. You know what I mean? Like, you could win a game 5-1. I think that's where it gets really important in the leadership group on the team, the coaching staff. Like, how do you get it across to guys that that's not acceptable? It's like, coach, we won 5-1. Like, really? You know, I find that teams struggle. Like, they were so talented. They're so talented that they can cover up a lot of bad habits and bad things. I mean, the fact that that moniker of comeback cats, like, that's not really a good thing, right? That's not, like, a good thing to have. It's great that, yes, you show character, you can come back, you got a ton of skill, you could flip a game on its head, but to do it as many times as they did, that shows that you're not always ready to start on time. You're playing from behind. I just find that it's a team that maybe understanding, like, that even in the games, in the dog days of the season, you could be playing bad and be on a six-game winning streak, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. Mike Rupp joins us, and I'm Sports Leader TSN 1260. Vasilevskiy found his game in the second round, which is obviously a negative for any of the teams that are either Carolina or New York or who's ever coming out of the West that's going to have to face him. We'll stay out east in Carolina and the Rangers, another homer series for Carolina. How concerned are you, Rupp, about Carolina? The fact they have home ice, it's not going to matter because they're like Sebastian Aho is a completely different player home and away when you look at production, and so are the Canes. Why?
Yeah, I don't. This one's really baffles me because when you watch the games, I mean, if I go back to Game 3 at MSG, that was Carolina's best road game of the playoffs so far. They were good. They controlled a lot of play. They lost the game, and then last night's game was not as good on their behalf. But the problem that I think we're starting to see now is because they were unable to kind of have that knockout punch. You're up 2-0. Series shifts to New York. I'm seeing a Rangers team start to heat up, and I'm seeing Igor Shesterkin starting to get a little comfortable, and that's alarming to me. So you can be as confident as you want at home, and they are, Carolina, the way they play in Raleigh. But I mean, at some point you got to find a way to get an ugly one or anyway on the road. They're going to have to if they want to get to where they want to get to, and at the same rate, the Rangers are going to have to win in Carolina if they want to go where they want to go. So. I just find that this is a team that's I can't really put my thumb on it. Like, they're doing some good things in the game still. I think it's just you're waiting for that star power. You mentioned Sebastian Aho. Mika Zibanejad's come through in big ways at big moments for the Rangers so far in the playoffs. It's kind of like, all right, well, Sebastian Aho is that player, and he needs to do that as well. And, it's tough. Their penalty kill that was so good all season long, number one in the NHL, just looks to be a little pedestrian now. They just don't look like – they don't look terrible, but they just don't look good. So, that's and the Rangers are heating up. I don't know where this series is going to go. I think it's probably going to go seven. I don't know who's going to win it.
Join my Mike Rupp, longtime NHL, and I can check him out on the NHL Network. Rupper, Blues Avalanche, obviously, 3-1 up for Colorado, Binnington out. Is there anything the Blues can do to stop what looks inevitable right now as far as the Avalanche series win?
They got to park the Naz Kadri stuff. They last game, I'm the first one that wants retribution on things, but you got to be smart about it. And I just, with a veteran-laden team, even the coach, and Craig Berube, who I think is an unbelievable coach, even his post-game comments, just as far as kind of fanning that fire a little bit with what happened with Binnington. This is obviously, a few days back. I couldn't believe that in the middle of the game, when they're playing from behind, there's still plenty of time on the clock, that they just lost their minds and just took stupid penalties. And David Perron, although I love when players stand up for one another, you can't do it right there. You've got to be able to park that stuff and get to it when you can get to it. And I felt like that was a real break mentality, a mental lapse by St. Louis that I'm curious if they can move forward. you can't pay any more attention to what happened with Binnington and Kadri. It's time to move on. I think this team's got a ton of character. They're going to push back. But you're given a team that is, you probably needed an extreme performance through the series to beat. Now you've kind of given them, this 3-1 stranglehold, and it's going to be tough.
Mike Rupp joins us, Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Mike, the Edmonton Oilers, a 3-1 series lead over the Calgary Flames. The Oilers' top line has been crushing Calgary's top line. They've outscored them 30-13. Their top line has 13 points combined. Leon Draisaitl has 13 points himself in the first round. It's really amazing what McDavid and Draisaitl have done. Draisaitl set two NHL records here. He scored the first player in NHL history and playoff history to have four consecutive 3 or more point games, and also the first player to have four assists in a period. And he's banged up. What do you say about the Oilers? Have you been surprised by how well they've performed against the Flames in this series?
I thought the Oilers, coming into the season and parts of this season, I thought that they were a fragile group mentally as far as dealing with some stuff, and they're still learning how to do it. I didn't know how Connor and Leon would continue to handle potential playoff, losses or lack of success. They've blown me away. These guys have amped it up. You mentioned Leon being hurt. He's visibly hurt. I've seen it numerous times. We all have in the playoffs. He's doing his thing. All he needs is one chance with that stick, with that puck on his stick, and he's going to make something happen. Connor's got 17 primary assists in the playoffs. And we knew that he's great. Everybody knows he's the best player in the world. I didn't know he had this level. And this is coming from someone, I've seen Connor since he was 15 or 16 playing in Erie in the OHL. Like, I didn't know he had this kind of, I knew he had drive, but he's fighting through stuff. Guys are draped all over him. He's got sticks. He always has a level of that. But this is like, I'm seeing with him like flashbacks to what we used to see with like Mario skating down the ice, guys hanging all over him, water skiing on him. We're not seeing it to that level, but in today's modern game, it's kind of equivalent. Like, he's fighting through, and that one assist that he had in the Duncan Keith goal, earlier in the series, that one is kind of the poster child play of what's different. Like, he's behind the net. Rasmus Anderson is all over him. Connor's holding him off with one arm, one hand on his stick, gets out of trouble, makes the play to Keith. Keith scores the goal. I've been just really impressed with this group. And I think that this group is proven a lot. They're hard-headed. And they're, you know, even the Mike Smith stuff. Like, what Mike Smith has gone through at different points so far and the way he can bounce back, I mean, he psychologically, it seems like he's dialed in. He's ready to go. I think this team has been awesome. Great stories. And the one little side note, I mean, Evander Kane's been incredible. He's got 12 goals in 11 games. But I want to just make a quick mention on a guy that doesn't get talked about enough. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, when he's healthy, he's a difference maker with this team. Like, he can tip the scales for this team. So love seeing him get some success last night. And this team's they're a handful, and Calgary's having a tough time with them.
Oh yeah, well they're in trouble now, down 3-1 when you look at history says so. We'll see where they can go, but the Orders, we could see MacKinnon and McDavid in the Western Conference Final, which those are two of the most powerful skaters, most explosive skaters in the National Hockey League. Would be loads of fun. Rupper, hopefully it happens. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Have a great week.
Awesome, guys. Enjoy. We'll talk later.